Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. It's the JR Sport Brief show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Happy weekend to you. Friday is rolling into Saturday, getting the weekend started off right. Shout outs to everybody on the road making that money. Shout outs to people going to and from work, checking in on the family. Shout outs to people outside maybe rolling to do something that they maybe shouldn't be doing. Sorry about that. Okay, I'm coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. Trying to get you set up for everything going on in the world of sports. It's been a wild week. It's been a wild day. Major League Baseball is trying to get their act together while Rob Manfred figures out whether or not we should even have or continue an MLB season right now. I don't envy him, but this is the bed that Major League Baseball and the Players Association have decided to lay here in 2020. You laid the bed. You set it. Lay down. Good luck to Major League Baseball as they try to pretty much keep things intact and get this season moving along. But there's a real threat that we might have a shutdown right now. Meanwhile, the NCAA, they are trying to continue on with the conference play. I mean, Pac-12, the SEC, the Big Ten. They've all said, look, we're going to play conference games, conference-only slates, and we're going to try to play. And good luck to the NCAA, the NFL. I think they're in the same spot this week. Players have showed up. They've gotten tested. They're doing virtual meetings in the next week or so. We are now going to move into NFL players, moving into strength and conditioning work. And then in another 3 weeks, players are supposed to put on the pads and work out. So let's see what happens when, you know, you bring in 90 guys and then cut it down to 80. And, you know, squads and teams will have the option of saying, hey, we want our offense to work out at the practice facility. We want our defense to work out at the stadium. The NFL is going to try its best to socially distance and follow protocols to make sure that they can go forward with their 16-game season and not necessarily have the same issues that Major League Baseball has had. But when you have more people, when players have freedom, coaches have freedom, staff has freedom, and everybody's just showing up to work, you know, even though you're going to be testing, it's going to be difficult to do. Not to mention that these dudes are going to be out there tackling the living hell out of each other. Even though, oh yeah, by the way, these players are not allowed to exchange jerseys at the end. Okay, beat each other up for 60 minutes, but you keep that sweat rag to yourself. Interesting scenario. We just finished a conversation about Antonio Brown. Served an 8-game suspension for violating the NFL's conduct policy. He's had a multitude of issues and problems. So good luck to Antonio Brown. I think some team is going to give him a flyer. You know, the NFL, listen, if you got the talent, you will get a chance. And Antonio Brown has so much talent, even at 32 years old, somebody will give him an opportunity. I think it might be Baltimore. I think it might be Seattle. And speaking of opportunity and speaking of talent, this has been an amazing dude to watch in the NBA. I mean, this guy has so much talent, he exploded out of his own damn shoe. His name is Zion Williamson. Then this goes beyond Zion at Duke. Zion Williamson was quote-unquote internet famous before he even got onto Duke. While he was still in high school, we were watching him dunk on Instagram. You were watching him on YouTube. Zion Williamson is a freak of nature. For a guy who's built like a linebacker to explode and move like a guard is pretty ridiculous. And guess what? He's only played 20 games in the NBA just because of his injuries and because of his knees and whether or not he was in shape and he's heavy. And guess what? All of this, he just turned 20 years old a couple of weeks ago. He just turned 20. This guy was in the NBA at 19, putting up 23 points, almost 7 rebounds, 2 assists per game, and his field goal percentage is about 60%. That's ridiculous. That means I go to basket, I put shot up at basket, I do what I want at the basket. 6'6", small forward, power forward, you know, 290 pounds. This guy's a freak. He's a monster. And it's going to be interesting to see what he can do in the NBA for the next few years. It's going to be interesting to see what he can do in the NBA if he can actually go out there and stay healthy. Because Zion Williamson is fun to watch. But the issue, obviously, has been his health. I remember watching his first game of the season. I was actually watching it with Channing Frye. And we actually went on NBA TV. We watched his first game live. And for a guy who doesn't shoot three-pointers, that night, I believe he went 4 for 4. And he decided to light it up. And then it came down to the end of the game. Because it was his first game and he was on a minutes restriction, they did not play Zion at the end. And now we're right back to it. The NBA has restarted in their Orlando bubble. Zion, unfortunately, had to leave the bubble and deal with a family issue. He comes back and he's on a minutes restriction. He only played 15 minutes last night in the reopener, I guess you can call it, against the Utah Jazz, where they lost 106-104. Zion pretty much only played at the beginning of the quarters. He finished the night, 13 points in 15 minutes, 6 of 8 when it comes down to field goals. This guy is, he's a beast. He just gets the shots that he wants and the shots that he takes around a basket, he puts them in. Doesn't matter if it's a layup, it doesn't matter if it's a dunk, if it's a drive, it's a he does what he wants. And you can only imagine he's going to get better as his skills improve and as he learns more of the pro game just by sheer experience from being out there on the floor. But it's unfortunate when you get into a crunch time game and Alvin Gentry, because of minute restrictions, can't put Zion out there. And I get it. This is someone who you hope is a member of the Pelicans for 10 plus years. You hope that you can eventually build a solid team around him. What good is it to run Zion out there? You know, what do you want? You want the Pelicans to get in the eighth slot and be slaughtered by the Lakers? Do you want to risk what could be a long-term gain for a short reward just to watch him play? We've certainly seen that he's gotten in much better shape than when the season actually stopped on March 11th. As a basketball fan, you want to see him out there. We know Zion wants to play, but is it in his best interest? And is it in the best interest of the organization? I mean, even we've heard this already. He's not going to go all the way against the Clippers. They play the Clippers tomorrow. He's not going to be out there for a full slate. They're still going to treat him with kid gloves. This is what Zion Williamson had to say last night about sitting down in crunch time.
They weren't holding me back. I did want to be out there, but, you know, we're just working my way back into my flow. That's all it is. Honestly, I don't know how long it will take. I guess maybe a couple games. It is frustrating, but it's not so frustrating because, you know, like, I could easily, they could probably not even let me play, but I'm able to play, so I'm going to do as much as I can while I'm out there.
I guess Zion Williamson takes the approach of something is better than nothing. His coach, Alvin Gentry, this is what he had to say on why Zion did not play at the end of the game.
We wish we could have played him down the stretch, but, you know, he had used the minutes that was given to us, so, you know, that's just – you know, that's the way it is. I mean, we weren't going to stick him back out there. You know, our medical people said that we played him in the minutes that was allowed us to play him. And, you know, we'll just move on. I thought he looked good. I thought he had some good moments. And obviously, you know, we're a much better and a much different basketball team when he's out on the floor.
Is this just purely a conditioning thing? Is that all this is?
I was told the minutes that he could play, and that's what I did.
Damn, that's sucks to be a coach. Told the minutes that he could play, and that's what I did. It sucks to be hamstrung. And this isn't a decision of what Alvin Gentry, how many minutes he wants him to play and how long he wants him out there. That's not an Alvin Gentry decision. Alvin Gentry's job is to win ball games. These are the players that you have. This is what you can do with them. Go to work. This comes from above him. This comes from the general manager. This comes from the organization. This comes from, hey, we're trying to max out our investment. And unfortunately, here in 2020, with all of the starts and stops that everyone in the world has had to deal with, Zion Williamson had to come into the league with an injury that kept him out. Did not debut until earlier this year. Now the games stop. Zion Williamson, unfortunately, has to exit the bubble due to a family issue. Zion Williamson comes back. They want to make sure that they don't run him out there for an injury. I get it. I think next season is the one that's actually going to be telling. And even next season will be odd because by all indications, you know, we may not have a full season next year. I mean, Michelle Roberts was here. She was chatted up with Zach Gelb yesterday, and she said it wouldn't surprise her if next season takes place in a bubble as well. So what does that mean? We're going to get an 80-game slate, an 82-game slate, another 50 games. Nobody knows. We can't predict the next week, let alone look forward to next year. But Zion Williamson, whatever next season looks like, is going to be a real indicator for how he's going to be treated over his career. Because I can tell you what no one in New Orleans wants. I can tell you what no one in the Pelicans organization wants. No one wants for Zion Williamson to eventually become Anthony Davis. Thinking of Antonio Davis, the big bruiser. Nobody wants Zion to go. You want to max out what you can do while you have him in the building. And I get it. You're going to treat the guy with kid gloves. You want to get the most out of him. But eventually, we want to see the guy play. This is the NBA. There's just so much money at stake now. You've invested so much, you don't put him out there. It's not necessarily fair from a viewer's perspective. But guess what? You're still going to watch. You're still going to hope. It's not going to change the box office. It's not going to change the fact that people are going to tune in to watch. And eventually, hopefully, we can all kind of, you know, open up the doors to these arenas and stadiums and actually go watch someone like Zion Williamson. But for right now, 8 games, season that's pretty much a wash for the Pelicans. Yeah, you can fight for the 8th spot, but for what? To give him a playoff experience? Is it going to make that much of a difference when you have to weigh that versus his health? I don't necessarily think so. I mean, we got producer James here. James, what are your thoughts on how Zion Williamson is being treated?
Oh, I think the Pelicans are making the perfect move. I mean, you basically summed it up. I mean, we all want to think about Zion as a basketball player first, but the reality is he's not a basketball player first. He's a commodity. He has the ability to be a billion-dollar athlete. So they're doing what's in their best interest, and hopefully it's in Zion's best interest. I mean, with him sitting out and leaving the bubble, you couldn't have expected him to play more than 20 minutes last night anyway, so I don't really realize why it's such a big deal today anyway. I mean, and you went through the numbers, but you could tell something was off last night, minus 16 while he was on the court.
Yeah. Well, I think that might also be indicative of some of the shots and turnovers that his teammates had. But ultimately, when you think about Zion, you want him around for the long run. And who knows? We want to see him in the clutch. We want to see him at the end of games. You know, if I'm general manager, if I'm David Griffin and I'm looking at it, I might say, you know what? We can have him come off the bench. It used to be a case in the NBA, but everything is so analytically based right now. It used to be, okay, star player coming off of an injury, you don't start. You come off the bench. You're the first guy off the bench. You're the 6th man. Get warmed up prior to the game, sit down, come off, get hot. We keep you in at the end of the quarters. But right now, in the case of Zion, it's different. They're running him out there. He's starting the games. He's sitting. He's working at the top of the quarters. I guess they don't want him to get stiff after the workout. I guess they don't want to go from a soft workout and a warm-up prior to the game to having him sit. And I guess so, because we certainly see him out on the sidelines riding a bicycle, trying to keep the guy warm and loose. I'm not a physio. I don't have a degree in body movement. But I can tell you what I'm used to seeing. And I think most people would love to see Zion in the clutch, not setting things up for the Pelicans to go to crunch time and then sit him down. That's not necessarily the greatest thing in the game. And I don't think this is a matter of load management. This isn't a Kawhi Leonard who rips up his quad and is now pretty much just kind of ripped to shreds every time he sits or doesn't play. This is a matter of you have a young player who just turned 20 and you're trying to max out his career in the long run and hope that he stays with your organization for a long, long time and actually hope to have more success than you had when Anthony Davis was in the building. So I get it. I at this point in time, I'm not trotting or running Zion Williamson out there because hopefully you have more important games down the line. There's no need to rush him regardless of how much any of us want to see him. What do you think? I'm opening up the phone lines, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Are the Pelicans babying Zion Williamson too much? Do they need to take the kid gloves off? This is a different era. You know, the players are different. The money is also different as well. Keep that in mind. Call me up. Let me know. 855-212-4CBS. How do you feel about how the Pelicans are treating Zion Williamson? It's the JR Sport Brief Show right here with you on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. We're talking about Zion Williamson. The NBA is underway in the bubble. Had a chance to see Zion in the opening game yesterday against the Utah Jazz. The Pelicans lost 104 to 106. Zion only played 15 minutes, had 13 points, shot 6 of 8, was not seen in crunch time. Coach Alvin Gentry said, listen, minutes restriction. I play the guy as many minutes as they tell me I can't play him. Zion said, I'm happy to play. I do what I'm asked. I'm happy to be out there. What are your thoughts? Everybody wants to see the superstar player play in crunch time. Zion only turned 20 on the 6th of this month. And it's crazy to say that we just rolled into August 1st. What a wild world that we live in when, Saturday is August 1st. Zion turned 20 on the 6th of July. What does this mean? Are you a fan of how they're treating him with the kid gloves? You know, I get it. I understand. You want this guy in your organization. You want him on the team, best case scenario, for like 10 years. It doesn't necessarily happen in this day and age in the NBA. You have an Anthony Davis who comes in and eventually is on his way out because he's like, listen, I'm not winning anything here with the Pelicans. And they got lucky. They have Zion now. And you don't want to have an injury situation. I mean, Anthony Davis, for a large and early part of his career before he filled out, you know, it just seemed like if you breathed on him, he was going down. And Zion has already had several issues with his knees. We know his weight is not necessarily going to be a boon to him going out and remaining healthy. I get it. Don't rush him. But you know what? Maybe adjust his minutes different. But we have so much science involved nowadays. There's so much money involved. Zion Williamson isn't just a basketball player to help you win right now. He's an investment for the long term. The phone lines are open, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Do you feel that Zion is being babied too much when it comes down to basketball? Should they let him loose and take the reins off? Let's go to Brad. Brad is calling up from Cleveland. Brad, you're on CBS Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, JR, I completely agree with your take on Zion because I was watching the game yesterday like you were, And I figured, okay, they're sort of like resting, they're nursing Zion through this game, but it was crunch time. It was a, one possession game, 2-point game, 3-point game. I figured they put Zion in for the last 2 minutes of the game. Why not? It's like that was the winning time of the game. And, lo and behold, no, he didn't go in the rest of the game. I was like, what are they doing here? They've only got 8 games to try to make the playoffs. So I completely agree with you. David Griffin used to be the GM here in Cleveland. He's kind of like a Mr. Kumbaya. He's a nice guy, but he's a little bit too kumbaya, if you know what I mean. And I just think, if that was me, I would be playing Zion in crunch time. 2 minutes to go, it was a tie game, a 2-point game. I mean, come on, he's 20 years old. He could play all day. I mean, I'm 50 years old, and I could still go at it, in the gym for over an hour. So it's like they got to sort of take the bubble wrap off this kid. And, he's super exciting. He's great for the game. He's the reason why they brought Phoenix into the bubble and San Antonio and the Washington Wizards, all these also-ran teams, so they could make an excuse to try to get Zion into the playoffs.
Yeah, one of many and several reasons. Zion is definitely he's a player to watch. He is – there are very few players, and we know who they are in the NBA, that guys are appointment viewing. And at this point in time, he is definitely at the top of that list. Thank you, Brad, for calling up from Cleveland. Yeah, and this is similar to his first game as a pro. When he went out there and he was bombing away from three, it was crunch time and they sat him down. It's like, oh, well, we want to see him, but we knew. No, he's not going back out there. They're trying to make Zion Williamson last for as long as possible. There are plenty of people who are invested in his career. The Pelicans, the NBA, Brand Jordan. I mean, Zion Williamson is someone people want to see play for a long time. And it doesn't make sense to just squeeze all of the juice out of the orange right now. As much as I'd love to see it, I don't see it happening. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. What are your thoughts on Zion Williamson? Are they treating him just too much like a baby? It's time to take the gloves off, I think. We got Tony calling up from Miami. Tony, you're on CBS Sports Radio. Go on ahead.
Hey, yeah, I totally agree with you. Stay with me for a second here. My younger brother is 22. I'm 32, but he was staring at his phone and just saw a bunch of different apps, and he looked at me and he said, I don't know, I'm getting frustrated here because I feel like every minute in my life is organized and arranged. And he could feel it. He was very self-aware about that. I think there's a sense of young people today that maybe are not aware, but you're not, like, young people in general are not going to be living forever. They're not going to be playing forever. I think you're totally right. I think there needs to be a sense of now. If the pandemic has taught us anything, it's what you have is what you have. And players play, actors act, rappers rap, dancers dance. And he's a player. Let him play. If he's fine and he can play and he feels comfortable, roll with it. If he doesn't, at the end of his contract, he might not stay, but sitting there and babying somebody, we're all losing. Because if he's 20, 19, 21, 22, I mean, the greats are taught at that age, at an early age, to go. And are they going to win a championship? Probably not. But I totally believe that if you push somebody, not to the breaking point, not to the point where they throw the ball down and walk out of the arena, but if they get pushed to a certain level, that is what instills greatness in them, and then they learn time and time again. But not playing him yesterday, I mean, you're scratching your head, and it's not even if anything, I'm baffled that the Jordan Brand, after watching The Last Dance, that conversation, with Reinsdorf and Michael after his second year, and, he told the story about it depends how bad the headache is. I'm sure you heard about that, but he was going to kill himself if he couldn't play. And that's the way it should be. You're a player.
Yeah, well, you know what, Tony, and thank you for calling up from Miami. Times have certainly changed. We know all sports deal more in analytics than ever before. Teams have more data as regards to rest, when players should rest. And I think one thing not to omit, as much as I want to see Zion out there, let's be real. He has had a history, unfortunately, with a knee injury. Let's be honest here. And he has had some starts and stops. Starts up his NBA career, pandemic. We have to stop. This guy gets into the bubble and we get ramped up. He has to stop. I mean, if we forget everything that's happened earlier on this year, Zion, you know, this is not unusual for him to be out there and then automatically just come back and just automatically play. I mean, it's reasonable. I mean, if they're going to ramp him up over the next 8 games, that'd be great. I think we have a larger problem, and I think we have a whole lot more to gripe about if he's playing in these 8 games, and then it's just like, okay, you're still on a minutes restriction. I think then we can go ahead and beef. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. I'll continue to talk about Zion when we come back, and then also talk about the New York Knicks. They have a new head coach in Tom Thibodeau. And then also this evening, as the NBA is going in their bubble, unfortunately or fortunately, depending on how you feel, you know, players are still expressing themselves, and Greg Popovich is doing the same. Nothing new there. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. I want to let you know our phone lines are open. I'm getting ready to roll out. But before I do that, I want to continue to take your calls about Zion Williamson. I want to talk to you about Tom Thibodeau, new head coach of the New York Knicks. And then I want to talk to you about some of the happenings in the bubble from last night with the NBA. Okay, our phone line, 855-212-4CBS, is sponsored by Geico. Right now, Geico's offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. That's on top of what Geico could already save you. What are you waiting for? Go to geico.com to learn more. On the line right now, let's see who we got. We got Steve, who's calling up from Alabama. Steve, what do you think about Zion Williamson?
excuse me. Yeah, man, I think that they should let him play. But my real question was, if the coach is not pulling the strings, then who exactly is pulling the strings? And how do you expect a team to win if you don't let the coach, you know?
Well, who's pulling the strings? That would be David Griffin he's the president. I mean, you have Trajan Langdon, who's the general manager, but it comes from the top. And I mean, everybody's on a different timeline. I think you have to be realistic. You talk about winning, the coach's job is to go out and win. You know, every single team and every organization, some of them are more realistic than not as to whether or not we can compete. Are we set to win? Where are we as a franchise? Are we winning this year? Can we win next year? Is the plan to progress? Are we tearing down?
Right. So are you on their side now? Are you saying that they're making a wise decision, or do you think he should play?
Well, whose side? I'm not on anybody's damn side. I wish I was getting a damn check. How about that? At the end of the day, I'm a fan of the game. I want to see Zion Williamson play. If I am management, I've made this clear before you called up, I can understand wanting to have Zion. He's a long-term investment. This is not a matter of let's play Zion right now, let's win games so we can go on a championship run, because that ain't happening. You know, that's the reality of it. They want to keep the guy around for as long as possible. From that side of things, I understand. It's not like a street ball game tournament where it's just like, well, we got Zion and we're going to play for $1 million. This isn't the basketball tournament. This is the NBA. They want to squeeze this guy for the next 10, 15 years.
Well, I'm going to leave you with this. I just think that they should stop handcuffing the head coach and allow him to, if he should be in charge of that, not the people at the top. They should be in charge of like signing people and whatnot, but he should be in charge of playing them. Anyway, I love your show, man, and I'll let you go.
Thank you. Appreciate you, Steve from Alabama. I agree with you to a certain degree. Well, guess what? The coach has a boss. The boss is, in a lot of cases, the general manager or the president. And this now is adjusted. This is different in every organization. You have some coaches who have just unilateral power all over the place. You think about Greg Popovich, for the most part, he's calling the shots. You look at the NFL. You look at the decision maker. We know it's Bill Belichick. We have situations in sports right now. You know, let's look at the New York Jets. You have a Douglas and you have a Gase who both report to the owner. I mean, the situations vary. So you can say that Alvin Gentry should be the one deciding how many minutes that Zion plays, but it comes from the top. You know, Alvin Gentry is not the boss. He has a boss, and he does what he's told. And if you don't want to, it's like every other job. Go get another one if you don't want to listen to what we're saying. And speaking of new jobs, someone who does have a new job, and you want to talk about a player like Zion Williamson being handled and treated with kid gloves. I mean, the New York Knicks, I mean, all of their players, they might as well be treated like they're in a dumpster because the team has been a dumpster fire for years. But now everybody in New York City hopes that changes. Tom Thibodeau is the new head coach. And yes, Tom Thibodeau is actually excited to coach the New York Knicks. Listen to what Thibodeau had to say.
I'm very excited today to be here. This is a dream come true for me. This is my dream job. I've been there before. I have a great understanding of New York. I think we have the best city in the world. We have the best arena in the world. And we have the best fans in the world.
All right, well, Tom Thibodeau, he's preaching to the New York Knicks fans. Certainly, he was an assistant coach under Jeff Van Gundy, helped the Boston Celtics and the Big Three win a title under Doc Rivers, then won Coach of the Year his first year with the Chicago Bulls. Unfortunately, he had to deal with the injuries there. A lot of people say he ran the players into the ground, caused a lot of those injuries. And then he goes to Minnesota with a young squad, a bunch of guys who I don't consider to be winners. Wiggins and Towns, gets out of Dodge there, is fired, and now he's the head coach of the New York Knicks. But one former Knicks player who coached or played under Tom Thibodeau was Nate Robinson. And earlier this week, Nate Robinson joined me here on the JR Sport Brief show. And Nate had some positive things to say about Coach Thibodeau. This is what Nate Robinson had to say.
I think they're going to get what they've been missing for all these years, man. He's definitely going to go out and try to find some hard-nosed players that love to play defense first because that's what he preaches. You know, you play defense, you get to offense. Like, offensive reward. So he's definitely going to find a, you know, try to get that defensive mindset in New York City. And I think the fans are going to really enjoy that because that's all fans, the New York fans want you to do is just play as hard as you can for as long as you can. And in the midst of it, show them love, show them respect. And Coach Tom Thibodeau is definitely, I would say, probably the most prepared coach I've ever played for. You know, he knows his X's and O's. He knows everybody's weaknesses, tendencies. He knows everybody's strengths. And, you know, he's a good coach, man. He's one of the best coaches I've had since I've been in the league.
Yeah, I can't deny the fact that I believe the New York Knicks got a good coach in Tom Thibodeau. What? The issue, or the larger issue, is the owner of the New York Knicks. Hopefully Dolan can stay out of the way. And it's not just about matters of on court, but also off court. You know, you don't do the franchise any good when you're walking a legend, a Knicks legend like Charles Oakley off of the floor, having him arrested. You don't do the organization any favors when you're getting into tiffs with Spike Lee. You don't do the organization any favors when you are removing fans for chanting, sell the team. Put the rabbit ears away, go away, let Thibodeau coach. And the other element, you know, the New York Knicks need talent. And they don't just need to go ahead and buy talent or hope for talent to come in. They need to actually draft and develop talent. That is going to take time. Thibodeau is a solid step in the right direction, but the New York Knicks, they have some other elements that they have to hope fall in place. And a lot of those elements are internal. Let's go to Muhammad. Mo is calling up from Seattle. Muhammad, you're on CBS Sports Radio. What's on your mind?
Hey, Muhammad. JR, I want to talk about the Zion Williams and why they should let him play.
Go for
it. First of all, I'm a big fan of you, man. The reason why, you know, I think is the NBA is a product. A lot of people pay a lot of money to see these games, as well as the TV networks. And so when you have superstars like Zion Williams out there, we want to see the big-time athletes at their best perform. And so this is, as long as there's a high rating, it helps the NBA, and it also, you know, gets the fan base out there. So I think that the NBA should put out the product of the best out there.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Mo. And me and producer James were actually talking about this. I don't think this is a matter of load management. This isn't a matter of, hey, we got a healthy player that we're just trying to, you know, give him a day off. You know, Zion has had legitimate injuries. Zion is young, and Zion is just kind of getting thrown into the fire for someone who just came out of the bubble, hasn't had an opportunity to practice. The last thing that the Pelicans want to do is throw him out there. So, yeah.
Yeah.
They don't want
to risk having him injured for the long term. You know.
Sure.
I see both sides to the argument. I see where you're coming at, but it's not like they want to restrict the minutes for him. They want to keep him, you know, for the years coming up. And you know, the Pelicans aren't, if you think about it, the Pelicans aren't in the playoff hunt. If you think, or they are in the playoff hunt, but they're not in the, if we really think in the long term aspect, and as a championship team right now. And so, with that being said, I can see the side of the management of where the Pelicans are coming from. But in terms of us as fans, we want to see the product out there.
Sure. And you know what, Mo? And this is, and we're going to have to see how this plays out over the next several years. Fans aren't going to stop watching the NBA. We might complain, but I don't think the NBA has reached like ground zero, where it's just like there is now fan mutiny because the superstars aren't playing. We had bubblings of it years ago, which just like, oh, I expected to see Tim Duncan play. Oh, I expected to see LeBron play, even though LeBron, for the most part, unless he was hurt, would go and play every game. You have to have more of an appreciation for guys like James Harden who just show up. It's like James Harden is going to go out and give you 37, 38 minutes per game, even if you hate his style of play. You got to respect guys who just want to go out and ball out and play. But we have so much science involved in the game. There are so many health protocols that are made for the players to follow to maximize their output, whether it's sleep, fitness, training. The players don't practice as much as they used to. A lot of it is now work-throughs or walk-throughs. So the game is different. Things have changed. And they're trying to elongate and keep the players healthy for longer. And you know what? If I was paying some of these guys the $200-plus million that they're getting, I'd be thinking about that too. Because the revenue has gone up. The interest and the popularity has gone up. You know what? If I'm an owner, I'll take a little griping here and there about a player sitting out because I know the money's still going to flow in. That's the reality of it from a business perspective. And speaking of a business perspective, as the NBA has gotten back into the bubble, you know, last night, we had, Greg Popovich and the Spurs. They beat the Sacramento Kings. But we've had a few folks who decided to stand for the national anthem. And personally, I don't see any problem or issue with that at all. It's unfortunate that that's the space that we're in. The Spurs beat the Kings, but Greg Popovich and his assistant, Becky Hammon, they stood while all the other coaches and players knelt. And I say, okay, big deal. Like, who cares? You know, I'm in full agreement for anyone who wants to protest. I find absolutely nothing wrong with someone who wants to kneel and protest while the national anthem is playing. They are well within their right to do so, just as someone is well within their right to stand up. It doesn't mean that they care any more or less. They are simply expressing themselves, which is what we all want in this country. It's not a matter of disrespect. We all have our own individual viewpoints. And I think most of all, people need to be a little bit more open-minded to what people are actually trying to say, what is behind the protest and not actually what you interpret it as. You know, so the world continues to roll and things continue to go on. I wish you well over the weekend. If you miss me while I'm gone, it's real simple. You can find me online, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. All of my social media is at JR Sport Brief. That's at JR Sport Brief on all social media. It's been a pleasure hanging out with you all this week. A big shout out to Roy Jones Jr. for coming through. We spoke to Nate the Great Robinson. We had a lot of folks come through this week. Next week is going to be just as fun. Tomorrow afternoon, shout outs to everybody in New York City. I will be hosting on WFAN starting at 2 p.m., 2 to 6 p.m. New York City. You can listen to me on the flagship station of New York Sports, WFAN. If you want to listen to me outside of New York, it's easy. You can listen to me on the free radio.com app. I hope that we can fix baseball. I don't think it's going to happen. I hope that the NFL can go on, and I hope that we can get some more solid basketball games in the bubble. The first two nights have been amazing. A big shout-out to Stu Kovacs. A big shout-out to James Graceffo. It's time for me to roll. Don't miss me too much while I'm gone. You've been listening to the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. It's time for me to roll. It's time for Sal Licata.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.